Thank you. Yeah, so it's the gate, not the goat, which I think you'll be pleased to hear. And as I've been here this morning and just listening to the words come to the front, the songs, everything, it's just amazing that a lot of it is covered in what I'm going to say this morning. And I suppose for me, the other thing is God's been dropping other things into my heart. I've got a plan here, but the Holy Spirit knows where I'm going to end up and what you're going to hear, okay? So just bear with me if I stop and think, God, where are you taking me this morning? Because the Holy Spirit is at work here today. He's really speaking into our lives and he wants to make a difference. And I am the gate for the sheep comes from John 7. And my reflections must be very different from Rod, who brought an extensive Bible background to I Am the Light last week. Mine are what God has shown me through this passage that I'm going to read. And when I heard about the series, God said to me, you need to do that one. I said, okay, God, I'll be obedient to you. But I didn't have a clue what I was going to say. Okay, I didn't have a three-point series. I just knew God wanted me to do it. And when you know that God wants you to do something, you better do it. Otherwise, you don't know where you're going to land. Okay, so I'm here in obedience. And this morning, I hope you pick up something from me that will make a difference in your life and bring you closer to Jesus today. So I'm going to read from New International Version, John 10, 1 to 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Thanks, God, for your living word. So in our day to day, we come across lots of gates, don't we? The one that comes to mind, first of all, is an airport. Who's ever run to a gate to catch, make sure you get on? I can remember one time heading off to Ireland, and we were there leisurely having a drink, and suddenly, last call for gate, such and such and such and such, and off we ran. And at Bristol, the gates aren't very close to the main thing, so we ran for quite a way. So gates, you see them, and then you have passport controls. There's lots of gates in an airport. Bless him, Ed's been on a lot of journeys this... I think he's most probably been on a plane more than most people. He's had 10 flights this year, and he doesn't like flying, bless him. And the last flight he came back into Bristol, and his passport, the biometric scanners didn't like his passport. So we nearly left him at the airport, but here he is anyway. So where you go through gates, sometimes you need checks. Sometimes you need that authorization. Then you need gates to enter things like train stations, sports grounds, concerts. You go out for a walk and sometimes you come across a kissing gate. Yeah, everybody know what a kissing gate is? Those you have to get up quite close and personal to the gate if you're going to get through. You squeeze by. So there's lots of gates when you go out for a walk. And then growing up on a farm, we had lots of gates, and the importance of closing gates and keeping them shut when they needed to be. Otherwise, there's a lot of damaging consequences, I can tell you, when gates are left open. And now you have them in hospitals. Southmead Hospital, I couldn't believe it. Go to gate such and such for your appointment. They're all over the place. So that's the first thing, gates we see in our normal, and they all have different reasons and purposes for being there. As you know, I expect you know, the next statement is, I am the good shepherd. which is next in the plan. And I don't want to dwell on the role of the shepherd, otherwise I'll be doing somebody else's talk. But it's important that we recognise the role of the shepherd, how he uses the gate to lead and guide, protect and keep his sheep safe. Animals recognise the voice of their master. Often when I was home on the farm, my dad or my brother would call the animal and they would come running because they recognised the master's voice. The shepherd calls them from the gate. But I suppose this morning, if I was to sum up what the purpose of what I would want to get across to you is, that it's at the gate we encounter Jesus's presence. It's at the gate, if we're going to get through, we have to get close. And it's a one-by-one experience. Usually, any gate you go through, some of them are small and narrow, and you're checked in and checked out. It's a one-by-one, and you have to get passed by. The shepherds would have seen the sheep come in and out, and they would have gone close and passed by. But it's at that point of the gate that Jesus' presence, that's where you meet it. That's the important part that I want to get across to you this morning. But in three different points I want to make. Jesus, the gate that shows love and care for us. Jesus, the gate that guides and directs us. Jesus, the gate that protects us. So the first one, Jesus, the gate that shows love and care for us. Gates in our daily life are often about us checking in and out. And like I said, this is usually on an individual basis. Now, where I park at work, it's got one of those number recognition barriers. You drive up to it, read your number plate, and it opens. And there's always that little moment of when you drive up, will or won't it open? Will it or won't it? Okay. And you get used to it, actually. You drive up, moment, and then it opens. Well, sometime last year, I did that. I drove up, and it didn't open. And sometimes they're just not working. But this time it wasn't that. So I reversed back a bit. I thought I'd come in really slow this time. Got up. Still didn't work. I did that a number of times. In the end, I had to ring the buzzer and for somebody to let me in once I give them my number plate. And this really puzzled me. I thought, why isn't it letting me in this time? So I went and parked the car. And as I was walking away, I looked back at the number plate. And there was a leaf obscuring some of the number plate. The number reader couldn't recognise the registration because that leaf was on there. It knew it wasn't right that I shouldn't be entering with that wrong number plate. It needed fixing. That's why the gate is an important part for us. And if you see in a farm, we'll check. I go out and check the cattle and sheep quite often, every day, to make sure they're okay. And we need to check in and out. And that's what Jesus does. Our relationship with God is personal. It's one-to-one, okay? And the first thing I want to pick up in this point is that it's about salvation, okay? Jesus says in John 10:9, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus is the person we find salvation through. He's the one that leads to eternal life. But what qualifies us? What qualifies us? Now, if you're a Christian, they must probably know these points. But if you're not, then these are life-changing points. And if you know them, but your heart is for talking Jesus out there, these are the points that we need to get across to the people that we come in contact with. So our first step is, from John 3:16, we need to believe that Jesus died for us. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The second step, we need to confess that we've walked away from God, or we've never walked with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And it's those two things that qualify us to enter in that gate. And the third step is to follow him. Well, that's a lifetime of work, isn't it? And we're all doing that now. It's that daily walk with him. I made a commitment 40 years ago, I think. Yeah, 40 years ago, back in June, nearly 40 years, back in June 84. And it's a decision I've never regretted. And I've walked with God all that time, through the ups and through the downs, but God has always been with me. So in part of the other way he looks after us is ongoing care for us. Jesus is interested in us. He's available to us. And last weekend when I was at the conference during the worship, these few words really lay deep within me. And it comes back to what Rich was saying. It's in your knower. It goes deep. It's not just in your head. He said, he is here for you. How many of us this morning really know that he is here for you through every thick and thin moment? And sometimes we need to recognise Jesus is there for you. And when we go through Jesus the gate, he is there for you. He's available to meet your needs. And he will pursue you as well. I love the story in John 9 about the man born blind, where Jesus goes and he puts mud on his eyes. And he tells the man to go off and he washes, and the man washes the mud off his eyes and he can see. Fancy being that man. You've not seen for how many years and suddenly you can see. Wow, that must have been an amazing experience. And he's most probably bubbling over with excitement, and the Pharisees get him in and they're questioning him and telling him, well, how did this happen? Whatever. And they keep going on and on at him. And if you read that, it just made me laugh when I read it recently, because he just starts going at the Pharisees. He's saying, don't you believe? And he challenges them why they don't believe, because he's just so full of what Jesus has done. So they throw him out, okay? They throw him out of the synagogue. And we then read in John 9, 35 to 38, it said, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, Jesus found him, okay? He said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. See, Jesus finds him when he was thrown out and gives him a deeper revelation of who he is. That mad man had an encounter with Jesus that day, which he most probably never, never forgot. And it's the same with us. We come to the gate and we have that encounter. And we can bring things to him. Wow, what we shared this morning, Rich, about surrendering. Surrendering our anxieties and fears. We come close to Jesus at the gate. That's where we do it. It's in Jesus's, as we pass by, as we're there. And in Matthew 11, 28, it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Message version, I love the Message version. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion, shaking up tradition? That's what we just sung. Come to me, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn from the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You see, Jesus wants us to give our burdens to him. And in verse 9 in that same passage, it says, he will come in and go out and find pasture. That's us. As I've just read, Jesus wants us to take our burdens from us. One of the most clear messages from God I got at the ladies' conference started right at the beginning of the worship. And it was an interesting start into the worship because they played a video and it wasn't sort of, it wasn't no hype. It was just a video of people singing in a woodland, really. And then we started smack into Speak Jesus, and it just, the worship just took off. People were really, really waiting and ready. And then God said this to me. He said, what would your life look like if it was completely surrendered to God? Well, I must admit, it took my breath away a little bit. when God sort of shoves that, well, not shoves it, but speaks it directly to you, because you think, boy, what does that mean, God? And to be fair, I'm still trying to work out what that really does mean. But it made me think, what am I holding on to that actually I need to give to God? What have I got to let go of to seek him and trust him more? I mean, the whole conference was around John 15:3, remain in me. And it is, isn't it strange that freedom comes from surrender? How does that marry up in the normal world? But freedom comes from surrender. Because as we surrender things, we let go of things. And there's a lightness in our spirit, and we can feel a freedom. And I think that's what God is saying to me as I try and work through some of the issues that I'm working through, the pressures. I need to let go of things to get a freedom that maybe I've not seen or felt before. There's some things at work that are changing at the moment I'm finding particularly difficult. But I know that I need to let go of some stuff and hold them lightly and let God let me see a way through. Otherwise, it'll break me. I nearly felt broken back in June when, after my dad got ill in April and I was spending a lot of time travelling down to Devon to look after him, I was dealing with work pressures that continue to be pressurised. If you know anything about local authority and children's services, you'll know it's not an easy environment to be in. Those pressures continue day in, day out. But I have to manage that with the grace of God. And I'm finding that as I let go of things and don't hold on to things, that God gives me a way through. But it's that daily walk, like I said, it's that daily walk with him that makes a difference. And then in that verse 9, coming back to, he will come in and go out and find pasture. That pasture is provision. God will provide us the provision if we look to him for it. He'll provide us what we need. And the other bit he wants is he wants the best for us. He wants us to have life to the full. So what does that look like to you? What does life to the full look like to you? Does that mean lots of adventures, fun, laughter, security, peace, freedom, love? What does that living life to the full look to you? Maybe there's things that you need to change to make sure you do live life to the full. We need to pursue God. And I must admit, sometimes, often now when I'm in worship, I will just soak in his presence and just want to go deeper and deeper and deeper, because that's where I know my peace is. So a few questions on this first point. Do you need to make a decision to follow Jesus this morning? Second question, what areas do you or I need to surrender to God to experience his freedom? We're all individuals, and it will be different for each one of us because it's a personal relationship. Second point then, Jesus the gate that guides and directs. Some gates are there to direct us, and some open and others stay shut. There's a few examples where I can remember a long time ago, I used to go out for a walk with a group of people. We'd walk through this field and there was a bull in the middle of this field. Clearly I was wise that the bull looked pretty calm. All his harem was sitting down around him and he was looking calm. So we just walked along the edge of the field and out to the other side. Now the issue here was that we decided to do the walk backwards, okay? So we hadn't followed the trail, we'd gone backwards, the starting with the finish, and worked the other way. So when we got to the other side, to the other gate, there was a little notice on there which said, keep out, okay? So anyway, it happened, but that's part. So sometimes it's really important that we keep out. And God just dropped this into my heart this morning, that there are things that we should just not get involved in. There are things that we should just not touch. We should not even look at. Mental health, a lot of, is to do with things that people have got into or not. And our mental health and our young people, how we protect those young people and make sure they have a broad upbringing, but we protect their minds and their hearts from things they should not get involved in. all of us have things that we need to think and ask God about before we get involved in, should I do that or not? Would Jesus be comfortable with me if I did that or not? We're all different, and that's the other thing. Children are all different. Some people can do some things, some people can look at others and not be affected. I know there's things that God has said, no, don't get involved with that, don't do that. God is saying to us today, be careful what you get involved with. Making sure if God says and shuts a gate in your conscience, then listen to that. See, gates can be set up in our lives and we can walk by them and keep them in place quite simply once we get used to them. An example, so many of you know, Ed and I've got a dog called Murphy. We got him 2 years ago, and we also got a cat or a kitten at that time called Millie, okay? Got them within 2 or 3 days of each other. Our house is quite open plan, so we had to put up a gate by our stairs to ensure that Murphy wouldn't go upstairs as a puppy. One, we didn't want him going up and down stairs, but two, upstairs was Millie's domain, okay? Just happened to be. So we put up a wooden barrier, wasn't fixed, it was just put up. We left it there for 6 months, and he got used to that being there. To the point we took it away after 6 months, and he still won't go upstairs now, 2.5 years later, because he was conditioned with that boundary being in place. The only time he'll go up is when we say he can. The cat will annoy him, she'll run upstairs, and even then he won't look to run up the stairs. He might bark and complain, but he won't go upstairs. That's when a boundary in our lives, and we can put these boundaries in our lives that help us to walk the path that Jesus wants us to do. It's the priorities we put in place. Different people, like I say, will have different priorities that make them keep them in the place that God wants them to be. One of the things that I'm not very good at is getting the right balance between work, rest and play. It's the one in the middle that I struggle with, is the rest aspect, which I'm learning at the moment. I'm currently reading John Mark Comer's book entitled The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, thanks to Nikki, who's very good at recommending good reading. And I've read the first two parts, which is the problem. Yep, I identify the problem quite easily. The solution, yep, I see the solution. But now I'm on the third bit, which is putting it into practice. That's what I need, that mindset change. I need a mindset change to think, God, I'm going to have to change something in my life if I'm going to stay at rest and at peace with you. And I think leading up to new wine, I would say I must probably came to the very close to the edge of actually tipping over with my well-being. And I got there through the grace of God and a lot of support and prayer from other people. And it was at New Wine that I went to one evening with Kathy Madovan, who was speaking recently in Bristol. She talked about the wilderness season, that season you go through and you can't understand. Again, something that Rich talked about this morning, that we don't understand sometimes. We don't understand why we're going through it and what's happening to us. But God does. And at the end, when we come out, she was saying, we'll change for the better. And I went forward for prayer that night to get a mindset change to be able to move forward, and I was prayed for. And I know for a lot of us, times are tough, but with the right priorities, we can get through them. God will enable us to get through them. So going back to the book, there's four elements to rest, and he was saying, and these mentioned are solitude and silence, the Sabbath, simplifying and slowing. All these can allow me to have space and find God, find freedom and live life to the full. And I think one of the things I read in UCB about simplifying, I don't know how many people do read UCB notes, but on the 5th of October it talked about somebody called Jenny Lind, who was a successful and very wealthy opera singer. And at the height of her career, she stopped. She stopped. And this was the reason. She was at home by the ocean one day, and a friend called on her. And she's asked her the question, why did you abandon the state you're at the height of your success? And she answered quietly, when every day made me think less of this, laying a finger on the Bible on her knees, and nothing at all of that, looking to the beautiful sunset, she said, what else could I do? She simplified her life to find God in a new and a fresh way. She didn't let the distractions of life take her away from God. That was a fairly significant change in her life plan. But there are things and priorities that we can change, little things that can make a huge difference. As I've said, the gate is also a route through. How many know it's much easier to go through the gate than over the hedge? Okay, if you ever tried to go through the hedge, it's pretty difficult. Jesus is the gate, and we need to lay things down at him, not trying to get around them some other way, but lay them down at his feet. And as we've said this morning, if you're anxious about anything, lay them at God's feet. Have we done a recent check, just as we're at the gate, have we done a recent check about where we are with our prayer, with our Bible reading, finding joy, gratitude, encouragement for others, worship, whatever form it takes? Ask him to let you know how you can surrender things to him and help you to live a life that's free and full of life. As we said, one of the questions, again, is to answer, is there anything different I need to put into practice so that I have that in daily encounter with God? Remember Nikki's preach on the bread, that daily bread, that fresh bread. There's nothing better than fresh bread, so that we can make room for him. And this is something we've been trying to work out for ourselves, that we just need to give to God and ask for his assurance and guidance to trust him and find wisdom. So just moving on to the third area, Jesus the gate that protects and keeps us safe. And this really links into the first one, a second one, about boundaries and disciplines and direction. Now, we use gates on the farm a lot to keep the cattle in pens, particularly over the winter when they tend to be in all the time. And gates closed are really important so that they stay where they should be and we're safe as well. And I can remember one Christmas when I was quite young. We had about 15 people around the dinner table at Christmas Day, and we just sat down, dished out the dinner, we're all sitting, and we had a big window in our dining room. We looked out, and lo and behold, there were some Friesian cattle passing by that window, heading down to my granddad's lovely lawn, okay? His pride and joy. Now, they obviously felt they wanted a bit of freedom, they wanted to get out and about. As you can imagine, we hastily left our Christmas dinner, jumped out to see the cattle having a little dance on the ground, on the lawn. Unfortunately, those hoof prints were there for many a month, as you can imagine. But you see, gates are there for everybody's safety, to keep people in the place we should be, in our right areas. And boundaries and practices will keep us in his will. We need to be in God's will day by day, and that's how gates and the gate that Jesus can keep us in his will. I've been listening to a song this week. It's called A Broken Hallelujah. It comes off the Gas Street album, and it talks about coming from a place of brokenness and honest praise to a place of surrender. And the refrain at the end of the song is, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, your kingdom come. And as you sing it and you begin to believe that and begin to surrender, that's when we find again, we come back to that freedom that God can give us. So in this passage again, Jesus refers to robbers and thieves, those that steal, kill and destroy. So what are the thieves and robbers in our lives? What are the distractions that take us away from Jesus and our relationship with him? What is robbing us? Do you know, sometimes these can be really subtle. What do we do in those 5 minutes that we could be doing for God? What do we do in that half an hour that actually we could sit and pray or read our Bible or ring somebody up and encourage them. Again, these will all be different for all of us. It's how we spend our time, maybe an unhealthy obsession with something, finances, habits. We're all different, and we all need to seek God about, God, is there something actually that's drawing me away from you? That's what a thief and a robber is. It's something that draws us away from God. Have we got the time and space to listen to his voice so that he can guide and lead us? One of the things I used to share with the youth came from Psalm 119:9-12. And it goes, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not stray. Let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. And something there about getting into God's word, as we've been encouraging. I can preach from here. I can, as Nikki has and Rod did last week. But in the end, it's that personal relationship with God we've all got to find and dig deeper. Amen. That's the sacrifice that we make. Is that time we spend, whether it's out for a walk talking to God, whether it's in a quiet place talking to God, whether it's in a noisy place talking to God. It's how we dig deeper and find him. And then, are we secure enough in him to be who we really are? No mask, to just be ourselves, because we've laid everything down. We've surrendered everything down. And I suppose my final question to you today is, what is robbing you of God's presence and life? Am I going in and out by the gate? Am I finding Jesus' presence? Am I finding that encounter? Am I passing close to him, dwelling with him, looking to him to provide for all I need, the priorities, making my priorities right so that I get that time with him, so that he can take me on and lead me on to what he wants me to do that day? And as I've said, Jesus is the gate that shows us love and care for us. He's the one that guides and directs us, and he's the one that wants to protect us. But we have to do our part to pass through that gate and come close. Amen.